talking about Detroit. We're talking about bringing in the Movement Festival. We all know the Movement Festival. The music is going to be there. Techno, EDM. We're going to have house. We're going to have so many different genres that are going to be represented. And so many of them pay homage right here to the city of Detroit. So talk about welcoming in the Movement Weekend and so many people coming in from across the globe to come here to see and hear music that was birthed here.
It's amazing how it's so amazing how many people come from all over the world to join in on the festivities and to recognize and to celebrate Detroit as the birthplace of techno and party alongside and have a good time and dance. It's so important to take this time to, you know, release and have a good time. And I'm very proud to say that I'm from Detroit, and when I go around the world to premiere the film, I find, you know, Detroit lovers and techno heads all over the world who truly are inspired by the city and its music and the musicians as well.
Oftentimes we talk about the Detroit story and how it's not told in a way in which the natives of Detroit would love it to be told. This one is a Detroit story being told by Detroit natives. So talk about the importance and the significance of that type of storytelling.
Well, in terms of Detroit Source Media, I would say that, first of all, Detroit is our muse. We're just like many other Detroiters. You know, we love our home and we want to do what we can from afar to continue to support the city and its arts community. I would also like to really acknowledge at this time the other archivists that really helped us create this film. And I want to give a shout out to Nat Morris, of host of The Scene from the 80s, who had the forethought to preserve all of these shows that he recorded from the 70s, and I think it ended in the 80s, the late 80s. But with that material, we were able to support the storyline about how techno was birthed in Detroit. And we also want to shout out to Emmett Nicholas and the Detroit Historical Museum, who also had the footage that also helped to support our story, that without it, we wouldn't have a film today. So it was really important that all of these people in the 80s were, you know, videotaping and recording and taking pictures. And I'm just, I've only named a few, but there were so many people that we were able to get pictures from and footage from that really helped to support the story, and we wouldn't have this beautiful film today without those people. So we would encourage other videographers, storytellers, photographers to continue documenting Detroit and their experiences.
Knowing how long you've been working on this film, since 2010 now through 2023, you're taking the film across the globe now at different festivals. How did you and your team stay focused, stay hopeful throughout all of that time?
Our team, most of which are from Detroit, we all love the city so much and we love the music. And once we got started, we had no idea it was going to take this many years. And if you would have told me how long it would have taken, I would have probably walked away. And I think Christian, the director, tried to warn me, because when our first foray into this was really with a short called Electric Roots, the Detroit Sound Project.
Being a DJ, what's a DJ?
How am I going to be different from the DJ who played before me or the one who's gonna come after?
Music has allowed me to connect to new people, travel the world, and to kind of live a dream.
The scene just has slowly gained enough momentum where something like the Cape Town Electronic Music Festival is possible.
Not just for me, for a lot of guys that grew up in the same time as I did, it wasn't that easy. You don't really actually expect it to make anything of yourself, really.
Where we're from, with our political situation, we were never what we are today.
What advice do you give me to become like you guys and travel all over?
Just capture this moment in your mind.
Coming to South Africa, it really reminds you how deep music can touch people and bring people together, and how important for me and for many people electronic music is.
A 25-minute short that we think first showed in Detroit in 2013, and I kept telling everyone that our feature-length film was going to be done in a year, and Christian tried to warn me that it was going to take more like 7. I didn't want to believe it, so I just continued saying we're going to be done next year, every year, just so that, you know, that kind of put fire up underneath our feet with it. And so, but by that time, you know, we're already 3-4 years in, and we had started to receive, you know, some success with the short film, which premiered at the Cannes Film Festival in 2014 and Pan-African Film Festival in 2014. In Los Angeles. And so we had already gotten some success. So that is another thing that kept us moving and going along. We didn't get distribution for that beyond the film festival circuit because I wanted to just focus on the feature length film. And so from 2014 to 2022, we've been on a mission. And every year I would say, okay, next year it's going to be done. Next year it's going to be done. And we would continue to submit to film festivals like Sundance and Tribeca every year just to keep the ball rolling. And, you know, it took time. It was an uphill battle. We didn't receive any backing from any major company until 2019. And, or maybe it was really, 2019. And then we had to sit and wait because the pandemic happened after that. And then so, all you know, so many people's projects were on the back burner at that point. So we just had to sit tight, and we started to film on Zoom. We had a major interview with one of our subjects, Norman Anderson, in London, who was the photographer who shot many of the early photos of the guys, Juan, Kevin, Derek, Santonio, Blake, and I... and Eddie. And so we had to get this interview done, but we were in Los Angeles, and we couldn't travel, so we hired a crew in London who filmed Norman Anderson while we were on Zoom. So that's how we continued, even during the pandemic, adding to the film and bringing in new characters that really meant a lot to the story. So and once we were 7-8 years in, there was no turning back. There was no turning back. And then we had finally started to get more support. We had a successful Kickstarter campaign and finally connected with another documentary development studio in Los Angeles called XTR. And also Shaka Sangor from Detroit, who also was very instrumental in us connecting with XTR and getting the rest of our funding. So, you know, it's been a labor of love. And once again, we're so happy to be finally talking to you and WDET once again. And we're just happy to, you know, happy to be able to continue to share. And we hope to really be making inroads to continue to be able to create films and tell Detroit stories and share them with the world.
Hey man, take a look at that cover and tell me what you remember about it.
This was the beginning. I didn't understand how this was gonna have an impact on the future.
Electronic dance beats are pulsating into the mainstream.
Many of the faces of that were white Europeans, like 2 or 3 generations later than the founders of this genre, who most people have no idea who they are.
People think it came from Europe, but techno's from Detroit. It's about making soul music that you can dance to, and that's something that is inherently American and is inherently Black.
When you wanted to make music, you had to make a band. I was one of the first people to start making my own whole productions using technology.
I mean, it was all about this dystopian future that they wanted to create a sonic landscape for.
It was about a subgenre, a new sound that the kids were going crazy for.
That picture, that article, I think that was the worst thing that ever happened to us.
This is the way a generation is going to define itself.
Them boys was making some heat. I mean, some serious heat.
Yeah, everybody's life changed.
Some change for the better, some change for the worse.
So in the middle of you all putting together a documentary film, collecting and researching, you also decided to put together a book. When did this idea about the book form?
Honestly, I didn't start thinking about a book until 6 years into this. We started this whole journey in 2010 of making this film. And it took us so long that by 2016, I started to forget all of these amazing experiences that we had. So I felt at that time I needed to write them down. And so in 2016, I started writing. And I was lucky enough to find a more experienced writer to help me with this. Jeff Alulis was Christian. Hill, the director, the other producer, David Grandison, and I decided to put all these stories and experiences together in a book that is actually a companion to the film. And we're so excited that it's finally finished, and we're very proud of it. And we are doing a reading of the book at the Detroit Public Library downtown at 4 o'clock on Friday, May 26th, just before our screening, our encore presentation screening of God Said Give 'Em Drum Machines at the Michigan Science Center, again on May 26th, and that starts at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6.
So throughout all of the time you've been working on the film and all of the things that you're doing now with the film, what would you say has made you the most proud of the project?
We're also, Christian Hill, the director, and I are both being honored at the 5th Annual Diaspora Day Awards Brunch at the Epiphany Community House, which is hosted by Urban Organics and Drake Pfeiffer. This is, you know, this type of recognition for us, it really means so much, because for so long, we've been on this filmmaking journey since 2010, and for so long, you know, no one really knew what we were doing, and a lot of folks didn't really support what we were doing either. And so to finally be able to come home and have an encore presentation of the film about the city and the music that we love, and to now be recognized even as expats, really means so much to us. So we're very thankful.